Welcome to Monday Morning Quarterback on Head Games with the legendary one, the man that would matriculate the ball down the field, Leonard Dawson. How are you?
I'm fine, Nick, and I want to know who those two or three jerks are that I keep hearing every week. 95 guys, two jerks, they get 97% of the attention.
hey, listen, come on.
Isn't that
now.
The
I mean,
truth?
One of them I think is a pretty good guy. He's caught 450 yards or something the last 2 weeks, Ocho Cinco, and I don't think he's a jerk, but he's definitely getting the attention now.
Yeah, that's right. Just get a lot of yards doesn't give you victories, though, does it?
No, it doesn't. In this case, it gave Cincinnati a victory, but then again, you've got Trent Green coming back with, 102 yards passing, and yet they found a way to get it done in the last few minutes.
Well, the game plan was he hadn't played in, about 2 months, and so they thought he'd be a little rusty. Nice. And I knew that they'd have a safe pass the first one he threw, and it was. It was a quick screen to the flanker that was about 1 yard pass, and just to get him going. But he only threw the ball four times in the first half. What happened was they got the ball. When the first time they got the ball, they're marching down the field. They had a drive, I think, of either 10 or 11 plays, and there was only one pass in that drive. And they scored a touchdown, and it looked like this is going to be it, the heavy dose of Larry Johnson. And why not when you got a makeshift offensive line? They had different people out there. They had Kyle Turley, who is a tackle. He played tackle sometimes, but they had a formation where he was the tight end. And then the guy next to him was Jason Dunn. Now, you got two tackles. In fact, Jason Dunn, the tight end, is heavier than Kyle Turley. And the other team hadn't seen that formation, and they were able to capitalize on it with some good yardage during the football game. But it was one of those classic Raider-Chiefs games, as you're well aware of, that got down to the last quarter, the last drive, is who was going to win, who was going to lose. Kansas City was down, and they needed a score, and they got the score. And then here comes the Raiders back, and during that drive, though, Trent Green was a key to that particular successful drive. He hit Eddie Kennison on a beautiful pass. It was a post-flag move that he threw it over the defensive guy's head into the arms of Kennison before he got 2 feet inbounds and then out of bounds. And then he hit another wide receiver, Parker, on about a 15 or 16-yard curl pattern that got him down inside the 10-yard line, and then Larry Johnson took over. But it made it very exciting. And during that drive, Nick, and you can appreciate this because the Raiders are known for penalties and shooting themselves in the foot. Fourth down and a yard to go. Kansas City was down, so they went for it. And they made 2 yards, but in the process, one of those big defensive linemen grabbed the face mask of Larry Johnson. It was a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty that got Kansas City in great field position. And then at the end of the game, here comes the Raiders. They're inside the 10-yard line with 32 seconds to go. First down, and they tried to hit Randy Moss in the back of the end zone. Ill-advised throw by Brooks, the quarterback, and it was intercepted by a young rookie for Kansas City, Page. And that was the only turnover in the entire ball game. And when I look at all of these games that played on Sunday and Monday, and you look down at a couple of things, one is turnovers and the other is penalties, and tells the story a lot about why a team won or why a team lost. So Kansas City is very lucky to get out with a win there, but it was a win.
Well, the bottom line is that as long as they have Larry Johnson in that backfield and as long as that offensive line has come together the way it has the last 5-6 weeks, that the pressure on the quarterback's not the same. What do you think Damon Heward would have done in the same situation?
That's a very good question. He did an excellent job of helping Kansas City, but he was in the same situation the week before against Miami in Miami, and they were down. They needed 3 points to tie. A touchdown, of course, would put them ahead. Same scenario, and he wasn't able to get the job done. Trent Green was a little rusty early on until he got his touch and his feeling back and throwing the football. I don't know what would have happened. You'd have to guess, I guess, but Trent Green is a guy who's been in this situation a lot of times. Damon Heward has not, and Trent Green knows the offense as well as anybody out there on that football team and able to read defenses, and he did one heck of a job. Maybe Damon Heward would have done the same thing. I don't know, but I know that Trent Green at that time looked like the guy to be in there.
Well, you talked on an earlier show about the value of a Tony Gonzalez, which might have made it a little bit easier for Trent Green. Here's something you said a couple weeks ago.
The receiver who caught the ball in his hands as opposed to somebody letting the ball come to them in their arms or in their chest, Tony snatches it. And you know what he does? Because I think of his basketball background, and a rebounder, he snatches the ball away from those defenders. Yep.
That's something that you mentioned about 10 days ago. How long is Tony going to be out, and how big a loss is this for the Chiefs?
Well, how about the loss? How many times did they throw the ball to Jason Dunn, the tight end, yesterday? Zero. None. And how much of a loss is Gonzalez? It's a big loss because he's a factor you have to consider. If you're the other team defending Kansas City, you got to be concerned about Tony Gonzalez. A lot of times they'll put a cornerback on him rather than a linebacker or a safety because they can cover a little better than a linebacker or a safety. And there is talk that he is going to be ready Thursday. Now, I don't know whether he will or not and how effective he will be, but there's talk that he will be ready. There's talk that Brian Waters, the offensive left guard who went out with a knee injury a couple of weeks ago, that he could be ready for this game. But, you know, there's only going to be one practice this week. They'll practice on Tuesday, really. They're in there today looking at the tapes of yesterday's game and going over some things. They'll probably do some lifting and running. And tomorrow they'll practice. Their game plan has already been in for Denver. And then on Wednesday, before the game, you're not going to practice much. I mean, a walkthrough perhaps, but it is a one-day practice for Kansas City. Also, it's the same situation for the Denver Broncos.
I would think it's a bigger advantage for the Chiefs, though, on a short week, an extra short week like this, to not have the travel day. I mean, it gives them a chance to maybe go through things a little bit more.
Absolutely. I always thought it was tough, you know, on a short week, if you have to go travel someplace, because that takes something out of you. Of course, when I played, there was prop jets, the prop planes in those days, and it wasn't the jets. It would take, you know, 6 hours to get to the West Coast, and now it's 3 hours. But I think Kansas City has an advantage in that respect. That doesn't mean that, you know, that they're going to win the football game because Denver is a good team, but it is an advantage.
Len Dawson, let's have some fun and talk about Air Marty. That game last night, another great game in Denver with San Diego and LaDainian Tomlinson, obviously incredibly productive as well. But what is going on with San Diego and Marty Schottenheimer that has led them to come back for the first time in NFL history, a team down by 17 points wins consecutive games?
On the road. You sure that's Marty out there? You know, we know him all too well. That's
I'm not
different.
Sure.
But he's got the tools. He's got the tools in the quarterback. He's doing an outstanding job this year for a guy that's playing for the first time. He's not a rookie, but playing for the first time. And it's always nice to have Tomlinson on that football team because he's on a roll, that guy. I think, what has he got now, 19 touchdowns? I think so.
He's
a lot of games left to go.
Close to setting a record.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's, you know, they're behind. They got to catch up. I'm surprised they get behind because their defense is supposed to be the strength of that football team. And I'm surprised they've been getting behind so quickly against Cincinnati last week and against Denver yesterday. But they are rolling. I see the thing is, they believe in themselves now. They're never out of a football game. After you've done what they have done the last 2 weeks, they are never out of a football game in their minds because they have done it. And until you experience that type of success, you're not going to really be sure. But they're sure of themselves right now, and they're playing as well, I think, as anybody, particularly in the second half. If they could do the first half the way they do the second half the last couple of weeks, they'd be awesome.
And when Sean Merriman comes back, I think that's the idea. And to some degree, maybe that's the benefit. Once again, you know, the Chiefs now know what they have in their backup quarterback. They know what they can do without several of their starting offensive linemen. Willie Roaf never came back. Brian Waters has been out, and yet they're finding a way to get it done. What about that last drive, too? The Chargers go ahead. They're up by 8 points. And then Igor Oshansky he feels that Tom Nealon, the veteran center for the Broncos, probably intentionally goes at his knees just to get some sort of penalty, and Oshansky reacts, punches him in the head, and I don't think I've seen Marty quite so agitated on the sidelines after that.
Well, I've seen him agitated. I don't know how agitated he was yesterday, but he can get very emotional on the sidelines. But, you know, games are won and lost on a couple of plays, right? Maybe one play is the big difference in the team winning or losing. And you never know when that play is going to happen. And that made for a very exciting situation down there for fans to take a look at it, but not for coaches.
And there were a number of great games yesterday. We talked, of course, about with Ron Jaworski about the up-and-down season, mostly down season for Ben Roethlisberger, yet he, despite three interceptions in the first half, threw for 220-something yards in the fourth quarter, and maybe, just maybe, Pittsburgh's finding itself.
Well, I'll tell you, that's amazing, because generally when you throw three interceptions, particularly in the first half, you're generally out of it. But that's credit to Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers of staying in there against their arch rival, the Cleveland Browns. I know the rivalry between those two teams because I played on both of those teams. And to come back in the fourth quarter the way that they did is amazing. It just shows, really, that, as I said just a minute ago, that when you start believing in yourself, when you really believe that you can get it done, then good things are going to happen. But if there are doubts, if there are doubts of whether you can do it or not, you are in trouble. And so for Pittsburgh, huge win. What if they lose that game? They're in the basement, right, of their division, and be similar to last year where they had to win them all to get a chance for the playoffs. But that was a big victory for Pittsburgh, and they're not out of it yet, not out of their division.
Well, they've got to win six or seven in a row, but the bottom line is they're finding themselves. When we come back, Sam Huff will join us to talk about the Redskins' debacle against Tampa Bay, two rookie quarterbacks, and the dilemma that all coaches face and giving their rookie quarterbacks, their quarterbacks in general, the chance to make some of their own decisions. You're listening to Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 122.